Send Sam a voice note.
Hey, babe. So you really want to know what to get me, huh? Well, Lululemon just posted this new polka dot print, and I kind of love it. It's the same stuff I always wear to Pilates, but with little polka dots all over. I think it's called the Polka Flock Collection. I don't know, but if you love me, you could get the Define jacket or the Align pant. Or both, if you're in a really good mood. Anyway, see you soon. Bye.
Shop the Polka Flock print now at lululemon.com.
Today, we're going to reveal our college football preseason top 25 live on the show. I'm sure that'll be fun. We're going to give you our favorites for tonight's two preseason games, and we're going to tell you all about why LSU and Miami are so incredibly intriguing in 2024. This is Crane & Company. Hey, everybody out there listening, appreciate you guys, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, doesn't matter. We appreciate y'all. Leave us a 5-star review and keep sharing the show. It is that time again, Booster Club. Today, we are going to build our preseason college football top 25 live on the show, just mere minutes away. But first, I do want to make a couple things clear about what this ranking means. These are the top 25 teams we believe that are the best prepared heading into the 2024 season. This is not a prediction on where they're going to end up, all right? Not where they're going to finish, only where they start. We're going to have our individual predictions by team and conference, which we're going to be rolling out in the next couple weeks. But today we thought it would be fun to put our collective minds together, and I'm sure nobody's going to overreact when this top 25 drops hot off the press. Speaking about getting off press, nobody loved a guy getting off press more than former Michigan quarterback David Cone, especially in that offense. Then my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, hated press, but he got off of it more times than he didn't. We'll give you credit over there. You're pretty good against press coverage. All right, David, so I set up the parameters. This is our preseason top 25, how we think the teams are going to fare going into the season. This is not where we think they're going to wind up. I just want to once again make that crystal clear.
Okay, so based off the rosters that they have returning, how they did in the transfer portal, plus the coaching staffs that they've assembled, and maybe a little bit of trust factor.
All that together.
Factored in.
All that put into a soup. And this isn't one of those lists that, oh God, we put Colorado at 3 just to piss everybody off. We don't do that here. Look, we have opinions that may be a reach for some people, I guess, sometimes, but they truly are our opinions. We're not out there just looking for rage bait, even though it is fun.
And I've tried to take schedule into account as little as possible.
Definitely. Blaine, how are you feeling about this?
I feel great. It's a work day today. It's a business day.
It's a business
day. There's a lot of things we got to get figured out, and I don't know a better place to get them figured out than Crane & Company.
Well, first off, I love your energy right now. I'm all over it. So let's start. All right, and we want to know in the chat. Remember, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. We're going to get to the chat. We want to know what you guys think. We're going to throw some questions at you, and producer Justine is back there, just Bob the Builder, going to build this thing as we go. So our number one ranked preseason top 25 team, and we have to be at least 2/3 in agreement for it to go on the board.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start, obviously, with number one. That's the best way to do it. I'm going Georgia.
Not reigning champs?
Not reigning champs, David. I'm sorry.
That's one way
to do Georgia. I'm going Georgia.
Look, man, you got to put Georgia up there. I think Georgia and the Buckeyes have the two just clear-cut best rosters in the country, and to me, Carson Beck is the deciding factor at quarterback.
I mean, what box does Georgia not check?
I agree with that.
Their defensive line's weak.
Yeah.
I mean, they're better than every other one in the country,
they're
but
weak
they're not as good as the one playing for the Eagles.
Well, you know, people look at Georgia's schedule, and I get it. Look, I think Georgia's going to be an offensive-driven team this year.
I think
the offense is going to be better than the defense, but that doesn't mean the defense is going to be bad. That just means I think the offense is going to be that good, even with Ra-Ra Thomas being dismissed. Now, and I'm going to tell you right now, personally, I at least up to this point, I don't have anybody going undefeated in the regular season. But when I look at Georgia, if anybody can survive those tests, they can survive those landmines, the attrition and all that. Excuse me. I think it is Georgia. Now, the question becomes, because in my tier one, I've got Georgia, Ohio State, and Oregon. Those are three teams, I think, from a roster standpoint, are decently better than everybody else. And then we get in that next tier. But the question is, who is number two? David, are you going to Ohio State or are you going to Oregon?
One more point on Georgia, because I think you brought up an interesting point, and it's best to just get it out of the way early here. Look, Georgia and Missouri could end up with the same regular season in-conference record. when you start to actually talk about, oh, well, here's the schedules that these teams have to play. Like you talked about Georgia's schedule, the three toughest games they're going to play are all on the road, and they're still going to have to play teams like Tennessee and Auburn at home. That's where this factors in. But I think if you're just talking about rosters and coaching staffs and trust factor and all that kind of stuff, that's where Georgia's clear cut. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes at two because when you, the head coach asks for $13 million in order to keep his roster together and they give you $20 million, it's go time. There's no more excuses to me. Yeah. It's time for Ryan Day to not only win the conference, but to go play in the national championship. I think they've earned the number two spot, even though I think there are other teams that are worthy if you guys vote that way.
Yeah, Blaine, what about you?
I'm going to Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
Because one big factor to me is Dylan Gabriel's proven.
True.
He's proven in big moments. We still have to see more out of Will. I think Ohio State's roster is phenomenal. The reason I do give Oregon the nod is DG, and that's Dylan Gabriel. I think Oregon's a combination of speed and physical, and that's going to fit perfect into the Big Ten, so I got Oregon at two.
I'm going to go with Oregon as well. I went back and forth on this one, David. I don't think you're wrong. I think you know there's very logical and rational explanations for why Ohio State could be two and even number one. That's what makes this top three interesting. Now, I do think Ohio State, when you take their whole roster, and if you were to put it on one of those scales they do, like what the Lady Justice scales, like you know where you even it up, I do feel like Ohio State's roster would be a little bit better than Oregon's overall. But I'm with Blaine. I think Dylan Gabriel's the difference if he can stay healthy, but if any quarterback can stay healthy. And I'm not saying I think Will Howard is a bad player. I've just got to see if Will Howard can make those 3 to 5, those 5 to 7 throws in a game where the rosters are somewhat even though there's not going to be a lot of that for Ohio State. I trust Dylan Gabriel just because of what I've seen more than Will Howard. If Will Howard is able to do that and Will Howard is able to figure that out, I think there's probably a pretty good chance Ohio State not only is better than Oregon,
and
but may win the Natty.
I don't think either of these guys have to be a hero for them to win the Natty, especially not Will.
Not in the regular season. Well, one, they're going to play each other.
For sure.
So someone's going to have to.
I think DG falls into that. If one of them does end up having to be, I would trust DG a lot more.
And I think most people would do that outside of just bias if it's your team or not. And remember, Ohio State does go play Oregon on the road.
On the road.
During the regular season. So I've got Oregon 2, Justine. So that's a 2/3 agreement. We got Georgia 1. We've got Oregon 2. We've got Ohio State 3. Now here, boys, when we move on from here, and I kind of want to see real quick, Blaine, what the chat has to say about
this. Let's go to Always Talking Ball. Love that. He said, Oregon is the only team that comes to mind that doesn't have a single weakness on their team. They may not be better than UGA or Ohio State, but I don't think they have a glaring weakness.
I actually agree with that 100%. I don't see Oregon as being deficient, really, in any place when you compare them to everybody else. But if you're going to put them at the top, I do think Dylan Gabriel does bounce that scale up. But when I look at Ohio State's defensive line with what they're returning really on defense in general, then I look at that offensive line and adding Seth McLaughlin from Alabama, if he can make a good snap at center. I know that's kind of a big deal, but I don't think that's a crazy thing.
Let's go to C. Jenkins 313. Preseason polls are fun, and we all love them, but do they really mean anything? No, but it makes it even more entertaining at the beginning of the season. Do any of these fellows have Auburn in their top 25?
You're gonna have to wait for the individual predictions. Look, preseason polls, it's funny. I think that's our poll today. Are they worthless? In reality, outside, you know, I always used to say no because in 2004, when Auburn went undefeated, they started out ranked like 15th, and neither Oklahoma or USC lost, so they weren't able to jump them back in the BCS. It's obviously not the way we do it now. But yes, you should really probably wait until week 4 for the first true poll to come out. We really kind of do that with the way the playoff rankings had come out during the year, like into the year a little bit further. But I mean, this is just for having fun and us being able to come together collectively and decide on a top 25. And individually, our top 25s are different.
Yeah, when I'm trying to strategically think about how the seasons are going to shake out, which teams are better than which teams, which rosters, who's returning what, that's fun and that's healthy. So to me, that's not meaningless.
All right, one more.
Let's go to Trent CN. I'm going to call you Trenchin, dude. That sounds better. The steam Dylan Gabriel is getting this preseason is crazy. He's good for sure, but he's been getting elite praise.
Well, I think when you look at all the quarterbacks that left college football last year, you know, this class, I wouldn't qualify them nearly as what it was last year, but there's still some elite players. And I think when you have to categorize some of these guys, especially the ones that have moved, I don't think you're crazy to put Dylan Gabriel, you know, right at the top of your list with Cam Ward and a couple other guys. You got to understand, too, Dylan Gabriel fits what Will Stein, the offensive coordinator at Oregon, wants to do to a T. You know, one of the knocks on Bo Nix was, oh, well, his completion percentage and all this was so good because they were throwing quick passes out there, the quick game, the short game, the now screens, the bubble screens, the hitches, all that. That plays right into what Dylan Gabriel wants to do. And Dylan Gabriel's running element is kind of similar to what Bo Nix's running element is. So I think it's another great fit. But Dylan Gabriel's proven. I mean, he can play at a really, really high level. And when you compare him with the rest of the quarterbacks, I don't think it's crazy at all to have him.
I don't think Oklahoma beats Texas in the Red River Shootout last year.
I don't think they do either. All right, so we got Georgia 1, Oregon 2, Ohio State 3. Here's where it gets fishy, boys, right? Looking at 4, I mean, the candidates to put it 4 to me are Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and I'm going to say Utah. I don't think Utah is getting enough love in any of these rankings.
That's so funny because you just named the exact order of my 4, 5, 6, and 7 all in a row.
Really? So you
I got Texas,
Texas
at 4, and I think they've earned that right. I think Steve Sarkisian was the right guy for this program. What a great hire. And making the college football playoff last year, I think he's set Texas up for a great first year in the SEC. Again, they have to go to Michigan week 2. That's going to be like that fly in the ointment non-conference game. But how well do they reload, especially at the defensive line positions and wide receiver? Can Quinn Ewers stay healthy the entire season? Those are some questions I have. I think Texas is going to be really good again.
I'm going to shock you with who I before. Who do you think, Blaine?
Well, I have Texas at number 4 for me. And the biggest question when it comes to Texas coming in on their teams are secondary. How long can you hold up when it comes to SEC? I think Texas is going to be pretty damn good up front on both sides of the ball. I never worry about quarterback or receiver play when it comes to Steve Sarkisian. They'll be top tier no matter what. But it's a physicality thing with Texas. How can you be the most physical team when you come to the SEC? You might not be, but damn it, you need to try. And if Texas can do that, you already got a Lambo, but if you can get the Lambo to drive off-road, you're going to have a lot of wins.
I like that analogy. I guess so y'all are both with Texas at 4.
Correct.
So it will be Texas, Justine, back there at 4. But I've got Ole Miss at 4. And the reason I have Ole Miss at 4 is because, and I've continued to say this, I think this is the most complete Ole Miss team. This is the most ready-built team that they've had in a long time. This is a team that I think is a nice blend of high school development and the transfer portal. I don't think Lane Kiffin's gone too far off the end or too close to the end of the spectrum when it comes to the transfer portal. But I look at this offense, going to be really good up front, elite at the quarterback position. Yes, you lost Judkins, but you're going to be fine at running back. Your receivers are top 3 in the SEC, top 4 probably. Then you look on the defense. Oh, don't forget, Ole Miss last year was top 3 in the league in backfield disruption rate, which to me is one of the most important stats there is. They were tops in the league, I believe, in turnover margin. You should be better in the front 7 than you were last year, and probably even a little bit better in the back end. I look at that with their schedule. You know, they do get Georgia, but they get them at home. I mean, we'll know more about Texas, and I do agree with you, the physicality level's been raised. That's why their success has been raised. If Ole Miss played Texas on a neutral site, I'm probably rolling with Ole Miss, boys.
Yeah.
I really am.
Now, how fun would that be, Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin?
It's a wizard
fight. Former Alabama offensive coordinators dialing up against each other. I agree with everything you're saying. And beyond just the roster that Lane Kiffin's been able to assemble, what I was most impressed with last season was his focus down the stretch.
Yeah.
Right, 11 wins last year. 2 double-digit win seasons in the past 3 years. I have Ole Miss at 6 right now, but I have no problem with anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6, 4 to 7.
All right, so we got Texas at 4. Do we want to go Ole Miss at 5? Do you want to go Alabama at 5? Do you want to go Utah at 5?
I have Alabama at 5.
I have
5.
Alabama at 5.
Okay, so where do you have Ole Miss?
I have Ole Miss at 6.
Okay.
6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say I want to go Ole Miss 5.
And again, here's one thing that I think is happening with some people across the country is because Nick Saban has retired and new coach Kalen DeBoer comes in at Alabama, sometimes people forget just how deep Alabama is at so many different positions and how well they've recruited, even though some players have transferred out. And for Ole Miss, it's kind of a newer thing. So there's a lot of excitement to finally see Ole Miss worthy of like a top 7-8 ranking in the country.
And again, I don't think there's really a wrong answer here when you're comparing both these teams. I had Alabama, one slot further than you guys. But you know what I do find fascinating, and I'm continuing to say this about Alabama, is I think Kalen DeBoer's tenure and the reaction early is going to be defined by the first time something inevitably goes wrong, which it pretty much always does during a college football season, even with Nick Saban. When I look at the way this team is built right now, I do expect the offensive line to be better. I think Jalen Milroe is a guy that's going to be a Heisman finalist, most likely. He can create. He can go by the book, inside the pocket, outside the pocket. I really want to see his progression as a thrower. But Alabama's got really good players. I mean, anybody thinks Alabama was just going to fall off this massive cliff with Kalen DeBoer, they're not going to be good anymore. I'm really high on Utah. I had Bama 6, and I had Utah 5. And Ole Miss 4, and then Texas 7. But, I'm down with whatever. I'm good with either one of those. If y'all want to go Alabama at 5, we can go Alabama at 5.
Yeah, if we're doing the two-thirds, right, might as well go Alabama at 5. I have Ole Miss at 6. Who do y'all have at 7?
This is my first pick that I deviate from the coach's poll. Now, you guys put Oregon above the Buckeyes, so ours will be a little bit different already. But this is where I have Utah. I have Utah up at 7. And I just think Kyle Whittingham is one of the best coaches in the country. This could be his last season. They already have a coach in waiting. The question for me is, what type of player is Cam Rising going to be coming back from the injuries? I mean, if he's the conference player of the year, hey, showing out in the Rose Bowl like he used to be before, then I think Utah is going to win the conference, not only make the college football playoff, but get a first-round bye. If he's not quite as good as he used to be, but still really good, I think they could still win the conference. I mean, Kansas State and Oklahoma State will be right there with
him. And they shouldn't catch a knock for being the Big 12.
No, I feel like Utah is the most disrespected, respected team of all time. Like everybody, a lot of people, like Vegas has them winning the Big 12. A lot of people have them making the playoff, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about them being able to advance pretty far in the playoff, even if they get that bye and don't have to play in that first game. I think Utah is good enough to win a national championship if Cam Rising stays healthy and they catch some breaks. That's why I had Ole Miss 4. I had Ole Miss 4. I had Utah 5, I had Alabama 6, and Texas 7. But I'm fine with Utah here. If David, I know
you have Texas at 7.
I had Texas at 7.
Oh, you have Texas all the way back.
Yep. Because I had Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State, Ole Miss. Then I went, Alabama, Utah, then Texas. So, if we're looking at 6 here, I guess we got going to go.
Woo! Y'all believe in Utah?
I believe them. I think they may go.
Damn.
And I'll tell you what else. I think they're one of the best bets right now on the board to make the college football playoff at plus 240. Again, it comes down to odds. I mean, when you talk about Penn State right now is minus 145. Penn State can make the college football playoff for sure. But minus 145 on the odds, I don't think you're getting great value. Alabama's plus 100. Utah's plus 240. Those are two great college football playoff bets.
Okay. So to make sure I'm right up to this point, we've got Georgia 1, Oregon 2, Ohio State 3, we've got Texas 4, we've got Alabama 5,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Ole Miss 6.
Yeah.
All right, so this is, again, where we kind of take another step. I'd have Utah 7 then.
Who'd you have at 7?
I have the Michigan Wolverines.
Gotcha.
At 7. Mm.
How far back do you have Utah?
I have Utah at 9.
Yeah, okay. So you're
so all it's a top 10.
So we'll go Utah here
at 7. Utah there.
We'll go Utah here at 7. So, Justine, you good with that back there? All right, so 8, 9, 10. You know, when it comes to Michigan, I mean, you look at some of these teams that are on a periphery we're not going to get to. I think Miami could be sniffing the top 10 at the end of the day. It's just...
I have them in the top 10.
We got to kind of see it with Mario. But I'm going to say here at number 8, man, it's hard for me not to go Penn State, even with
Drew Penn Alex, State, okay.
Because they're so talented around them. It's just, you look at some of these other teams, there's still question marks, right? You look at Florida State with DJU, there's some questions marked there. LSU's got a new guy. Kincaid Klubnik do it at Clemson. Tennessee's got a new guy. Oklahoma's got a new guy. Kansas State's got a new guy. I mean, it just...
I'd take a lot of those new guys over what Penn State has.
Upset with me. This is where I have Notre Dame.
You have Notre Dame 8?
I have Notre Dame at 8. Okay. And again, I was trying to decide between Notre Dame and Michigan. I have Michigan at 9. But to me, that's just how much I believe in Riley Leonard. Like, if you put Riley Leonard on Michigan, all of a sudden, I'm moving them up inside the top 6.
Oh, without a doubt.
I just think he's that capable of a quarterback. Can he stay healthy? Plus, that schedule, I mean, that's no walk in the park. You're going to open up against Texas A&M. But again, I tried to factor schedule into this as little as possible. I know about their left tackle. Just got hurt in training camp for Notre Dame.
You don't know about Riley either.
Do what?
We don't know about Riley either.
Well, Riley's got to stay healthy.
Coming off an injury.
That's true.
And the offensive line worries me a little bit. I know they're pretty good in the guards with Coogan, and then the kid they got at center is pretty athletic as well. Speaking of Notre Dame, I just don't think they're a top 10 team. Hmm. So you had Michigan there.
All right, Michigan at 7. I have LSU at 8.
Yeah. All right, so we have Utah at 7. So at 8, Blaine, you said you have, say it one more time.
I have LSU.
LSU at 8.
Yeah, I think LSU.
And you got Notre Dame at 8.
I mean,
I thought you had Michigan at 8.
Yeah,
Michigan is 7. Okay. Michigan is seven, but we didn't go with Michigan to seven. We went with y'all seven, correct?
Utah. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I've got no problem with putting Michigan at eight.
I have them at nine, so that would be my next vote that we haven't gotten to. And again, it sounds like Alex Orji is getting the majority of the starting quarterback reps there. I mean, they're going to go as he goes, or whoever plays quarterback, they're going to go.
You want to talk about a jersey that's going to sell a lot of them, that Orji jerseys. It's going to be a lot of people involved.
But again, you'll bring back really one of the best corners in the country, and Will Johnson.
Look, Michigan's going to be really good. The question is,
Colston Loveland at tight end, Donovan Edwards at running back.
Can you get enough explosive plays on offense without having the guys you had last year with the way you operate?
That's and the question. Offensive line will be mostly brand new. It's going to be one of the biggest offensive lines in the country. And you know what I was told when I was in Ann Arbor is like, yeah, there'll be a lot of new starters, but they're not new guys. They're not young guys, right? They were just sitting behind all the guys who just went to the NFL. Well, that's the definition of reloading. You really want to go toe-to-toe with the Georgias and the Alabamas and these programs who are good every year, then you got to reload, especially on the offensive line. It sounds like that's what Michigan's done.
All right, so we're going to go Michigan at eight. Two-thirds of us are going to say we're going to go Michigan at eight, which leaves us not having Notre Dame ranked yet, Penn State, Florida State. So to nine with who we have left. Guys, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to put Miami at nine.
I have Miami at 10. So I'm right there with you. And again, like I said yesterday, it is time. You've never won the ACC. It's year three, Mario Cristobal. You got one of the top quarterbacks out of the transfer portal in Cam Ward. It's time.
It is time. Blaine?
I mean, I have Miami at 17.
You have Miami at 17?
The coaches poll had him at 19, yeah, I think.
I just didn't expect that. I thought you'd have him higher.
No, not really. I have to see more. I know you're good up front. You have Cam Ward, a good bag. Defensively, I don't know. Secondary, you're terrible. You're young. Well, I mean, we'll see how good you are. You have Restrepo, but they have to prove it to me. Mm-hmm. Like, they have to show, what has Miami proven to anybody?
I get it.
The biggest moment, what have they done? Choke. I know the roster's better, but I still think we're on nine right now, Craig. I'd put LSU there.
Hmm. Well, like, what do you know about LSU?
I got LSU at 16.
I think LSU, as good as they were offensively, they were that bad defensively. I think they're going to take a step up defensively this year, and I don't think that drop-off is going to be huge offensively. I think you've got one of the best tackles in the nation, and Will, who's an absolute dog, the Nussbus is going to be absolutely cooking. And the absolute athletes you have running around at receiver will be absolute dogs. You play mediocre defense. They won 10 games last year. It was one of the worst defenses in the nation.
I don't think that defense.
Mediocre defense. LSU will be in the playoff.
I really want to agree with you that the offense is going to be even better than what people are thinking about, but not what they were last year. I just don't see a way in which they can replicate the way Nuss plays, losing Mike Denbrock to Notre Dame, losing Malik Nabers, losing Brian Thomas. Really good on the offensive line. I think they're going to play it safe, to be honest with you. I just don't see the production level being near what it was on offense, but it doesn't have to. To your point, they have to be more balanced as a team, speaking about LSU. So if the defense can go from absolute hot dog water to just being mediocre or even good, like you're saying, and the offense is still pretty good, I think LSU's a better team, and I think you could see them in the top 10. But I don't know if I'm going to sit here and say, well, Miami's got to prove this to me, but LSU doesn't have to prove it to me with brand new players, a brand new defensive coordinator, and a defense that couldn't stop a nosebleed in a nurse's office. I just don't think LSU's, I'm not sitting here like, well, they've proven a lot to me. They lost all the guys that proved it to me last year. Miami's good on the offensive line. LSU's good on the offensive line. LSU's probably better. Miami's got a better quarterback in Cam Ward. I don't think that's crazy. We've got to see the new young guys. I know Daniels. There's a lot of guys people are excited about for LSU at wide receiver. They've got a hell of a track record. I'm going to believe you, but I've watched Restrepo do his thing for a while. I know Damian Martinez is a damn dog at running back behind that offensive line. So I don't think what you're saying is crazy. I think the reason you're saying it is crazy.
So who do you nominate? You're nominating Miami?
I think it's Miami at nine.
At nine. Okay, well, I'll second that. Just to solidify the vote.
Okay, so then we'll go. So then that's no Notre Dame, no Penn State. I know the Florida State fans are already pissed. I can feel that now that we have Miami. Blaine, who do you have at number 10? Who do you think we should have?
I have Notre Dame at number 10.
You've got Notre Dame at number 10. Mm-hmm. God, y'all are high on Notre Dame, huh? I'm just not that high on them,
dog.
There's
only so many spots. I mean, like, I think Notre Dame's, like, I trust what they have right now more than Tennessee, more than LSU, more than Clemson.
What about Missouri?
I have Missouri at 11.
Man, I'll ride with you guys for Notre Dame at 10. I'll ride with you Notre Dame at 10. Because if you got them at 10 and you had them at what, 9 you said?
I had them at 8.
Had them at 8? Mm-hmm. All right, let's put Notre Dame at 10.
Okay.
All right, so you got the top 10, Justine, in there, right? So We should have the top 10 in there. Going to get back to it in a second. I'm going to get to the chat. The phone lines are going to open here. Let me do the math. At 3:15 p.m. Central. That's me doing time in my head. I know you guys are impressed. But speaking about impressed, all right, we all know those people that can just eat a ton and eat a ton of bad food and never gain weight, and it really pisses me off. Like Blaine, really the first like 25 years of his life. And we all know that carbs are one of life's greatest gifts. I love pastas, cookies, pies, cakes,
come on,
lasagna,
keep it going,
cheese sticks,
manicotti.
Even whatever David eats,
linguine.
That Scrabble stuff that they find in the woods. But due to modern diets and sedentary lifestyles, we often eat more carbs than we need, and we store the excess. All right, maybe getting a little soft around the middle. But that's why we love our Ketone IQ. All right, Blaine's over there managing
trying to find it.
He done found it.
Take the whole box, bro.
All right, what is Ketone IQ? It's a clean shot of energy with no sugar or caffeine, and they work closely with top Olympic athletes like Des Linden, Michael Andrews, all the way to Ironman world champion Sam Ladlow. HVMN has unlocked the benefits of drinkable ketones, allowing you to return an ancient source of energy. Feels like you've gone and went and visited the pyramids, right? And for a limited time, you can save 30% off your first subscription order and receive a free six-pack of Ketone IQ when you go to ketone.com/booster. That's ketone.com/booster. Get that 30% off your first subscription today. All right, Justine, you good on the top 10 right there?
Get it now.
Do it now. We're going to get to the rest of it in a second. I do want to get to the chat.
All right, let's go to Mr. Michael T. Mr. Michael T, what is up? He says, I'm high on Notre Dame as well. Riley's proven it in the last couple of years, especially with the athletes at Duke. Given Notre Dame's skill position, the ceiling is unlimited.
I'm all on the Riley Leonard train, but I don't think we sit here and say Riley's proved it a ton over time because he wasn't able to make it through the year last year. Now, when he's on the field, Riley Leonard does really good things. How you give him a basketball, he can do really good things too. And I do agree with you. I said this yesterday. Notre Dame, I'm in the exact opposite position about Notre Dame this year than I was last year. Pretty much exactly the opposite outside of believing in their quarterback because I do believe in Riley. Last year, I was worried about Notre Dame's skill position guys not being good enough to help them win games in multiple ways. I knew they were going to be good on the offensive line. I knew the defense was going to be pretty good. Well, this year, after losing Joe Alt and losing Blake Fisher, both your tackles, now losing your soon-to-be starter, young stud Charles Jaguza at left tackle, I think Notre Dame's fine at the skill positions around them. I love Jeremiah Love. Pun intended. I like Faison. Hell, he can go play lacrosse and do it too. I like the pieces that they have. Great House and some of the guys. Mitchell Evans at tight end if he can stay healthy. I just don't believe in Notre Dame up front, and I think that's going to get exposed against Texas A&M.
The good news is we are going to find out early at Texas A&M. And look, Texas A&M, they're favored right now, right? I mean, it's a pick 'em essentially. But
Texas A&M is going. Mike Elko is going to try and turn this into just an absolute bar fight.
It'll be a dog fight.
Behind in the alley, slow.
As it should be.
Ugly, Gorlock the Destroyer type vibes in that game.
But here's the thing. Even if Notre Dame loses that game, which they could, you get Louisville at home. You get Florida State at home. They do have to go on the road at USC.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the de facto conference championship game for them. Even if you drop another one of those three, that's 10-2. That doesn't automatically disqualify Notre Dame.
I think it's going to be hard for Notre Dame to get in at 10-2.
It'll be hard, but it won't be impossible.
It won't be impossible. You're going to have to start relying on other people. But all right, I'm going to get back to the top 25, then we'll get back to the chat. All right, let's get to number 11 here. David, what are you thinking here?
I have Missouri with Eli Drinkwitz coming off 11-win season. Brady Cook returning at quarterback. Luther Burns going to be one of the best wide receivers in the country. And I know I said I wouldn't factor schedule into my rankings, but I do think we have to talk about the fact that, I mean, Missouri could start 6-0 when you really, I mean,
yeah.
And Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, they get their first bye week. Well, at least 4-0. I mean, the game at Texas A&M and College Station is going to be really interesting, but Missouri's going to have that coming off of a bye week.
I'm with you. I'm going to go with Missouri at 10, and I know we're going to get to Florida State. I flirted with at 11, Missouri at 11. I flirted with Florida State, Penn State a little bit, but I'm going to go Missouri at 11. Defense, a little questionable. I got to see it again. You did lose your DC to LSU, but God, Brady Cook, that offensive line, Luther Burden, they still got some pieces I really like on the outside.
Number 11, I have Penn State.
Okay.
This is where I have Penn State at. Outside of the top 10, defensively, they're going to be phenomenal, both safeties. You bring back both your running backs. You did lose your left tackle. I just don't believe in Jarrell that much, so that's why I have Penn State out of the top 10.
I'm with you. I got Penn State actually at 12 as well here, David. So yeah, that's an easy agree. Drew Aller's got to prove it, but they're so good around him. I don't think they brought in the new OC. It's going to be different. They brought in the guy from Kansas. I'm excited to see it. He does a really good job out formation, you out motion, you put you in a bad situation as a defensive guy, and you have to take chances against him.
So you guys both have Penn State at 12?
Yep.
All right, so lock in Penn State at 12. I'll tell you, this is where I went Kansas State at 12.
I don't think that's crazy.
I think this
at all.
Kid Avery Johnson's going to be an
absolute
star.
It's funny you say that because I've got Kansas State at 13.
Okay, so nobody thinks I'm too high on Kansas State at 12.
Well, what is it about Kansas? Why do people like Florida State better than Kansas State?
That's one of the questions that I've been having, and this is why I picked Florida State to be a slightly overranked in that number 10 spot in the coaches' poll. And keep in mind, Kansas State will not play Utah in the regular season.
Just Oklahoma
now, Kansas
State, right?
Does have to play Oklahoma State, but they host them.
Yeah. Avery Johnson, I've got to see him throw more. That's a sample size thing. But I think he has more upside than what DJU has at Florida State. That's why I got Kansas State right there at 13. That I love the style of ball they play. They should be good on defense again. And with Avery Johnson, they're going to stay that downhill kind of RPO quarterback run team with the play action stuff built off of it. I just think they're a complete team that plays smart football. And they're in the Big 12. I like Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas State knows who they are, right? It's almost Kansas State, Utah, Spider-Man, Jeff. That's basically what it is. Utah just a little bit better at what they do. So let's go through what we have so far so no one gets lost.
Yep.
Number one, we have Georgia, correct?
Yes.
Two, Oregon.
Yes.
Three, Ohio State.
Yes.
Four, Texas.
Yes.
Five, Alabama.
Yes.
Six, Ole Miss.
Yes.
Seven, Utah.
Yes.
All right. Eight, Michigan.
Yes.
Nine,
Miami.
Miami. We ended up Miami there, correct? 10, we finished with Notre Dame at 10.
Yep.
All right. 11,
Missouri.
Missouri. 12, Penn State.
And 13, Kansas State.
13, Kansas State. See, my 12 was FSU.
Okay, so.
Well, and I have them at 13. You
know, my 12 was FSU.
Do you?
My 13's Missouri.
So 12, 13, 14 is what we have for Florida State.
Yes.
Right
yes.
there, yeah.
So it's right there. So we can pencil them in. So we have them at 14, correct? Or excuse me. We have Kansas State 13, Florida State 14, correct? Make sure we're right on that. Justine, is that right?
Say that one more time.
We have Florida State 14 and Kansas State 13.
Copy.
Correct. Yep, that's right. All right, so we're getting to 15 now. We've still got did we put Penn State?
I don't know if we have. Do we?
I think we're somewhere along the line.
12.
We messed up here. So we Penn State's 12.
Okay.
11,
Missouri.
All right, 13, Kansas State.
Yes.
All right, so we're on 14.
We're on 14.
Oh, so that's where we had Florida State.
Yes, that's why I thought we
which
had.
Which you just said is Florida State.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're good at Florida State at 14.
Yep. And then that's where I had Penn State. So I had Penn State at 14, a little bit lower than you guys. But again, I think anywhere from 9 to 14 for a lot of
you can make
teams,
a legitimate argument.
A legitimate argument.
My 14 was Tennessee.
Your 14 was Tennessee. All right. So let's get to 15 now that 14 is Florida State. We still got LSU. We've still got Clemson. We've still got Oklahoma. We've still got Oklahoma State. We've still got Arizona, Kansas, Iowa. All right, so who do you guys got?
I have Tennessee right at 15.
Okay.
And this is kind of where does the young quarterback take you?
Yeah, which I believe if he
plays the way he did in that bowl game, like you're talking about a team that could play in the conference championship, much less make the college football
playoff.
I'm with
you. Give me Tennessee at 15. I'm with that.
Well, you know, I mean, I have LSU at 8, so anytime you want to put LSU in there, it's like...
well, I think we go Tennessee 15, LSU 16.
Yeah, Tennessee's very...
LSU 16. Yeah.
You know, Tennessee...
David's like just very...
I'm dialed
he's
right
like
now.
He's like the three-eyed Raven.
I'm
the
dialed.
The ceilings are 90
goes
tall. Through the roof.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have one of the best defensive players in the country on the front. How much do you trust Tennessee in the secondary? I like Scooby. I like some of the guys you have at skill positions. But this season will end up...
Squirrel? Do you mean Squirrel?
Oh, yeah. Scooby's a defensive lineman for A&M. Excuse me. Squirrel, Scooby, kind of in the same boat. But this team's going to go whether or not Nico does.
Yeah. But Squirrel White, he's from Alabama, right?
I believe he is.
He's from Alabama.
I believe he is. All right, so that puts Tennessee 15. Do we go ahead and put LSU at 16?
I have LSU right at 16.
Good with
most
that?
Of the
I'm
reasons you guys said earlier.
Double up the LSU at 8 again. We'll see. We talked about them. All right, so getting to 17. Boys, we still don't have Clemson put up here yet. We still don't have Oklahoma State. We still don't have a team like NC State as well, or A&M. You know, the more I look at it, I mean, if we're going to sit here and talk about 17, I wouldn't mind putting Oklahoma State right there.
I have Clemson. I have Clemson at 17. I think they're still going to be really good on defense. Cade Klubnik, how well are we playing this year? I mean, Garrett Riley,
We'll see.
What we can do on the offensive side. I think the ceiling, again, the ceiling could be really high for the program. Kind of tough that you start off with Georgia and that Aflac kid.
That's what worries.
That won't depict your whole season.
Well, it depends on if they break Cade Klubnik in half.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier. If you lose your quarterback, no matter who you are, you're in trouble. Yep. But I do think from a front seven standpoint, Clemson's one of the best in the country.
They'll be really good on
you. You have a returning quarterback. You did lose your Mr. Do-It-All guy in Shipley. But you have some pieces there. You bring back Mustafa. You have a couple guys. I think Clemson will do fine in the ACC. I think they'll get rolled by Georgia. I had him at 15 on mine, so I don't think 17 is a bad idea.
All right, so we'll go Clemson at 17 there. Do I hear Oklahoma State or Oklahoma at 18?
I have Oklahoma State at 18 and Oklahoma at 19. Back to back right there.
I don't hate that at all. The reason, look, when you look at Oklahoma State, I don't believe in Bowman as a passer. Not that he has to be the greatest quarterback of all time. He'd have to be Dan Marino, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, whatever. I just don't trust him to be able to throw the ball well enough to be balanced on offense now that the book is out. That doesn't mean that Oklahoma State's, even if you know what somebody's going to do, that doesn't mean you necessarily can stop it. They bring back a ton of guys up front. I think 20 guys overall that played.
Nine starters on each side of the ball, I believe.
So
Bowman may not be the best throwing quarterback of all time, but those receivers are coming back, and then you're going to have
you've got a lot built around you. I think a lot of it is going to be Bowman, don't blow it.
Hey, and Ollie Gordon's going to get more carries for getting the DUI.
Yeah, well, again,
not fewer.
He's done it 1,000 times. And Oklahoma State's schedule, I think, is lighter. So give me Oklahoma State. We had that at what, 18? Then let's go Oklahoma 19. Y'all good with that?
And so how do you guys...
I mean, no, I hate that, to be honest.
Where do you have Oklahoma?
I have Oklahoma 20, but I have A&M. I'd put A&M above these teams you're talking about right now.
Really?
You'd put A&M above Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I think A&M would roll Oklahoma State.
See, I don't... I think I wouldn't mind
putting A&M up front on both sides of the ball, damn good.
I don't think you could... I think
Connor
you could
Wagner,
end up being right. It's just... I know that's where the trust factor a little bit more... Like, I know a lot of these guys coming back here for Oklahoma State, whereas... With Texas A&M right now, I mean, new regime. Like, can I at least see a little bit first?
That's but I know, like, Oklahoma State, you can bring back a lot of guys, but I know how you play.
I mean, last time Mike
Gundy. I know how you play defense.
Last time Mike Gundy had a team this old, he won the conference.
Yeah, well, I would take A&M in a neutral side over Oklahoma.
The A&M, if anything, I promise that, whether it's new regime or not, they're going to be big, fast, and pissed off.
Well, do we want to go? I mean, you look at A&M, especially that front seven on defense. I mean, they're scarier than Sam Smith wearing a dress with a microphone. But
that's scary,
and that's pretty damn scary. If we're looking at this, we're going to say, all right, 18. Do we want to go A&M 18? Go A&M 18, Oklahoma State 19, Oklahoma 20.
I mean, how are you guys differentiating between the rosters of Oklahoma and Texas A&M? Beyond just the quarterback position. I mean, I get it. I would take roster.
I think A&M's offensive line is much more experienced playing together. Oklahoma's guys, they played a lot, but they haven't played together. They kind of retooled the whole.
Well, then there's your answer there.
Yeah, I think that's the tipping point. I think they're better. I think A&M is better than Oklahoma up front on both sides of the ball.
And I'm not the big, I make fun of A&M all the time. All right, all the time. A&M up front on the defensive line,
yeah,
it will be disgusting. Too deep.
And if Mike Elko continues to get every.
So then it must just be Mike Elko's that much better of a coach than Jimbo Fisher because they've been this deep.
They've had
this much talent.
I think that's why they paid him that $80 million buyout to get his ass out of there.
Well, I had Texas A&M in the top 25.
All right, so we'll go A&M 18. We'll go Oklahoma State 19. We'll go Oklahoma 20. Y'all good with that?
I had Oklahoma 20 on mine.
All right, Justine, are you good back there with that? We got five more.
Yep.
All right, so these last five, Dave, what do you think in 21 here?
I had Iowa. And again, I'm trying not to factor in the schedule, even though I keep looking at it. What's their over-under projection right now? Seven and a half. Take whatever money you can find from Mama's closet right now and pound the 7.5. I mean, I watched Cade McNamara lead Michigan to the college football playoff three seasons ago at this point. They're going to be just as good on defense. They're reloading. I think, like what we were saying about USC and LSU, they're going to be better on offense. They have to be better on offense at some point. And I don't know. I think we could be looking at a 10-2 Iowa team that makes a college football playoff.
I don't think that's crazy at all. I'm good with it.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think it's a wrong answer. I'm just worried. And I think one of the reasons why Iowa's defense was so good, I know you have talent, but the way your offense ran was so conservative. Like, those guys were never on the field for too long. So I get worried that Iowa's defense will get hit a little bit Because when it comes to defense, it's tougher when your offense has an air raid offense and you're boom, 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 you're scoring all the time. That's great for Iowa, but I think it does knock it down on the defense a little bit. So, well, I don't know. It's just I just don't know enough yet. It's so new.
Well, I just don't know how you sit here and say, oh, well, LSU should be ranked this high. We don't know anything really about what they're replacing.
I think the disparity of LSU talent and Iowa talent on both sides of the ball is not even close.
I think there's some spots. So, and again, I'm not saying that LSU isn't as talented as Iowa athletically. I mean, I think that's borderline erroneous to say that. But I think Iowa's just better at playing football at certain positions than LSU has been. I think Iowa can keep up with LSU up front. Going back to the, oh, your defense didn't have to stay on the field as long. Dude, Iowa was punting on third down at some point.
You know, they're a lot like
a three
the
and
Steelers
out. Just because you
me,
run a
man.
Pro-style it's, offense, it's, your ass goes three and out. You go three
I
and
know,
out.
But an air raid up-tempo offense is tougher on defenses.
They're a lot like the Steelers to me. I'm not talking about just the black and yellow color scheme here. I mean, there's a steadiness about them that we've come to know from a Kirk Ferentz-led team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I've seen Cade McNamara do some really good things at quarterback. And if he stays healthy in a way that I know he can, then Iowa, to me, is a top 25 team.
I think Iowa's going to sneak up on some people this year because, again, they have been the butt of the joke a lot.
And, again, not that the schedule comes into play with what we're talking about, but no Michigan.
I'd put NC State over Iowa.
No Michigan, no Oregon.
I would put NC State over Iowa. I think defensively NC State will be really good, especially in the secondary. You bring Grayson McCall over, who's experienced, who know you can do it. You have a good running back, one of the most talented receivers in the ACC. I'm sorry, I trust NC State more than I do Iowa.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, if we're gonna divvy out 21 and 22, I don't think there's a ton of separation there. My only qualm was between like looking at one thing one way because it's Iowa and another because it's LSU, but I get what you're saying. I still, if we're going to go two out of three, Iowa at 21, NC State at 22?
I have NC State at 25, so I think they should be in there somewhere.
Okay.
That's fine by me. I had USC.
See, I don't have USC in my top 25.
And I think that's a bit wild. I know I'm a little higher on them than you guys are. I almost want to copy and paste your statement about LSU to USC. They're going to be better on defense. Like with the coaches that they brought in, they're going to be better on defense. Are they going to be as good on offense, losing the Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick, Caleb Williams? Probably not, but the things that we saw
Miller
Moss. If
anybody's replaced Heisman Trophy winners good, it's Lincoln Riley.
There's a couple things I don't worry about in life, and it's Lincoln Riley-led offenses, and when Miller Moss, your quarterback's throwing six touchdowns in the bowl game, you've at least given me something to go off of. Okay. I think USC belongs in here somewhere. I think they're going to beat a lot of teams. I think that Notre Dame game at the end of the year in Los Angeles is going to be really, really interesting.
I hope it is. I hope they're both good, and I hope that game means a lot. Let's keep them in mind. 23, we need 23, 24, and 25. Who do you like at 23?
Bob? I like Kansas.
You like Kansas?
That's who I kept out of mind. It was my first honorable mention just because, again, Jalen Daniels could win the Heisman Trophy. Jalen Daniels could play two games this year. I don't know.
Yeah. You can say the same thing about Grayson McCall, too.
True.
I mean, you can say a lot, decent amount of these quarterbacks. Riley Leonard's another one. Yeah, I'm good with Kansas at 23.
From a running back quarterback standpoint, one of the most dynamic duo in college football.
Like, no,
they're
going
to be disgusting. Defensively, they're going to be better. They get more experience. They're older on that side. It comes down to quarterback. Can he stay healthier?
And I love Lance Leipold. He's a hell of a
coach. God, absolute wit.
He'll have him confident, ready to go. All right, so we need, what, two more?
Yeah.
24 and 25, down the stretch.
Again, I already had USC there that we haven't gotten to yet. I had Arizona at 22,
okay.
And then I have Louisville at 20.
I went back and forth between Arizona and Kansas. For these two spots, I'm going to go Arizona. I'm a little nervous about the new coach. I know we have a lot of Arizona fans that watch this show. Seems like a great guy. I've just got to see him at this level. Having Fafita, I know he's at San Jose State, which is not a small level. Believe me, we played against him. But Fafita's really nice. McMillan's really nice. I got to see if they can keep this mojo going. You are in the Big 12. I think they're kind of in a honey hole spot where some people are talking about them. They should be good enough to make some noise, but they're not the overall theme of what the conference is. Not a lot of people believe in Arizona since Jed Fish left for Washington. So I'm good with that. And I'm gonna tell you guys who I got for my 25th that we haven't mentioned yet.
Okay. How's your shaking out over there at the end?
Yeah, I'm fine with that on 24. That's where I have Arizona. My 25th is actually Washington.
Really?
Okay.
I got Louisville.
Okay. Oh, I have Louisville at 23.
Okay.
Which I think we got to, we already got to. So did we include, is Arizona at 20?
Arizona is 24, and then I have Louisville 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good with that because I have them at 23.
Okay, perfect. All right. Justine, you good back there with that? All right, let's. We're gonna have
so no USC, right?
Yeah, no USC,
not on mine.
And then my three honorable mentions. Like I said, the first one was Kansas, but then two Group of Five teams: Memphis and App State.
Yeah, I felt bad. I almost wanted to put Memphis at 25. I just going into this season, I am really high on them, but I'm not higher on them than some of the other teams that we had there. But I do think there's a pretty good chance Memphis will be the Group of Five team that represents the college football playoff in the 12-team playoff.
You think Memphis will be?
I think that's Memphis. Who you have. Well, right now, that's where I'm leaning. I won't officially say anything yet. But the phone lines open 1-855-236-3228. Want to get back in the chat. We got some other stuff to get to. But before we do that, you guys know we like to stay active around here. We like to move around, keep the body guessing. And when I'm running or walking or doing whatever, I've got to have something to listen to. If I'm on the plane, I've got to have something to listen to. And even though I'm not in school anymore, I still love back to school season because that means we're getting close to football. And that's where Raycon comes in handy. There's just something about getting back in your routine. You start fresh with new clothes, new notebook. And for me, it's the best-selling everyday earbuds. All right. I go try and run every day, move around. They stay in my ear. They're wireless. They're not a pain in the butt. They're unbelievably affordable, and they're just as good as the highest priced earbuds that you can find anywhere. They feature an ergonomic design, which I'm not smart enough to know what that means, but it sounds pretty cool. Multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once at the same damn time, and active noise cancellation. So go to buyraycon.com/booster to get 20 to 40% off site-wide. That's right. You'll get up to 40% off of everything on the whole website when you go to buyraycon.com/booster. Again, that's buyraycon.com/booster.
I love
my
pair.
Heard about it.
I love my pair.
All right, back to the chat quickly.
All right, Chad, let's go to Lane Bolner. Oh, is that our top 25?
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty. All right, let's go to Lane Bolner. What's up, Lane? He says, look, LSU's defense will not be the same. Whole offense, we're bringing back a fourth-year quarterback loaded, wide receiver room loaded, running back room loaded with one of the best offensive lines in the nation.
Offensive line loaded, yes. Quarterback, do I believe in him? Yes. We know really nothing about anybody else on LSU's offense consistently. I believe in Nuss, but I don't think his sample size is big enough for me to be like, oh, they're loaded at the quarterback position. You just lost Brian Thomas Jr. You just lost Malik Nabers. You guys are good and you've recruited really well. Y'all got some really nice pieces out there that may blow up and turn into superstars. That's pretty much how it goes at LSU. But I'm not just going to assume that. You've got to show it to me. I'm not going to, on one hand, just stick my hand in the room and just feel around and just assume LSU's offense is going to be super duper elite. You've got to prove it to me again. I don't think some people realize how good Jaden Daniels was.
And Mike Denbrock, who was calling
plays. Yeah, Mike Denbrock's now at Notre Dame. So I would be easy. I would assume that LSU's defense would be better then assume that LSU's just going to still be loaded everywhere on offense.
But look, I have trust in Brian Kelly, too. And you're going to play Alabama at home? Look, go win the games. You're going to have plenty of chances. I think 16 is fair. I think 16, that's where we have them, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. So we have, just to go over it, if you can't see if you're on audio, Georgia 1, Oregon 2, Ohio State 3, Texas 4, Bama 5, Ole Miss 6, Utah 7, Michigan 8, Miami 9, Notre Dame 10, Missouri 11, Penn State 12, Kansas State 13, FSU 14, Tennessee 15, LSU 16, Clemson 17, A&M 18, Oklahoma State 19, Oklahoma 20, Iowa 21, NC State 22, Kansas 23, Arizona 24, and Louisville at 25. Pretty good. Pretty good collective. That's a pretty solid list there. All right, one more, Blaine.
All right, let's go to, as my chat breaks, Ryan Milanikin. God, I probably butchered that dog. I'm sorry, but I tried pretty hard. He said, all right, Crane, let me get your answer here. All right, LSU has reloaded wide receiver better. Trust me, I'm going to get a different LSU question. I have to scroll up. My thing's messing up. LSU has reloaded at wide receiver better than nearly everybody in the country. Why would this year be any different? And saying LSU is unproven, so they deserve a lower ranking, but Miami is in the top 10 is counterproductive. LSU is coming off a 2-10-win season. Miami went 7-6 last year. Talk about unproven.
Okay, so is Cam Ward unproven to you? Is Damian Martinez unproven to you? Is Restrepo unproven to you? Is that offensive line that was pretty good last year and should only be better this year, are they unproven to you? And I think LSU has a better offensive line. I think comparing LSU with all their newcomers and what Miami has brought in with their newcomers from an experience standpoint, I think that's a reach. I think your fandom's blinding you there. Now, could LSU be a better team than Miami? You bet your ass that they could at the end of the day. But right now, you can't sit here and act like then you must have a time machine. That's the only way that you can know that. Right now, Blaine, if I gave you the choice, are you taking Cam Ward or Garrett Nussmeier?
Cam Ward.
All right, David, if I give you the choice, you taking Cam Ward or Garrett Nussmeier?
I'll take Cam Ward.
Are you taking Damian Martinez or any running back that LSU has?
I'll take Damian Martinez.
Are you taking Restrepo or any wide receiver right now that we don't know about with LSU?
Oh, that's a good one because LSU, someone's going to pop up.
God, they got to have somebody, dog. They got two guys better.
No, C.J. Daniels is a dog.
He's a dog.
But again, it's not proven. Like, yeah. Restrepo's
but,
proven.
But at what point, you know, they said Alabama. You know, it's one of those things, like, you know they're going to be good. They've proved to you enough in the last 10 years that you know they're about to roll out somebody who's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, remember the numbers that the three-headed monster of Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas put up last year. It was insane. Asking somebody to recreate that is batshit crazy. It just is.
No,
it's not going to happen.
No.
So, regardless of if any of the new wide receivers that LSU has this year are not going to be better than what Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers were last year. They're just not. I can promise you. Maybe down the road, they can be close. Just go look at the draft. I mean, Malik Nabers is the best player on the Giants right now. All right? There's a reason he's not playing tonight. Damian Martinez, running back from Miami, stud. Cam Ward, stud. Nussmeier could be really good. I think he's an NFL player. LSU has NFL players. LSU's got a better offensive line. But everywhere else, you're unproven. And don't get me started on
the head coach.
If we're going to talk about proven stuff on the defense, y'all get proven, y'all get ran through like the data, beta, zeta, delta sorority.
Here's the thing.
So I don't want to hear anything about proven.
Really need to keep in mind when we're having this conversation is the difference between 10 and 15 looks like a lot when you're making a top 25 because
really
they're
not.
Five spots. That means you're basically the identical team.
It's about five
plays. And you're getting a hair right there.
Yeah, it's about five plays.
And bring up our list real quick. I'll give you a great example. Okay, I'll give you. You were talking about Miami. You were talking about the difference between Miami and LSU. Okay, so yeah, seven spots. Let's talk about where is Notre Dame? Notre Dame's 10, Texas A&M is 18. That's eight spots. Those two teams play each other week
one. And we think A&M's going to beat
Texas A&M is favored right now.
Yeah.
That's how much home field advantage matters. That's how much, like, all of these things. We're talking about fractions right here that separate a lot of these teams.
And this is why, again, and I want to get to the phone lines here in 1 second, Dave. I know the phone lines are full. But I want to make sure everybody knows these are not where we think the teams are going to wind up. This is where we are just ranking the best teams the way we see them entering the season. And this is a collective with all three of us. My individual top 25 looks different than that. So does his, so does his. But we got to come together at some point to be able to put one out, and then we're going to get to our individual predictions, who we think is going to win what amount of games, who's going to win the conference, who's going to make the playoff, who's going to win the Heisman, who's going to make mama happy and daddy proud here in the next couple weeks. So, again, just I want to make sure we put that caveat in there. And let's go ahead and get to the phone lines, Dave.
All right, let's get to Noah in Chattanooga. Noah. Talk to us.
The new guy.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, Noah?
Hey, so first I wanted to weigh in on the Xbox versus PlayStation debate.
Come on, Noah.
You build that art.
I wanted to say the nice thing about PlayStation is that free box of tampons you get when you get one.
There we go.
So I'm an Xbox guy.
Love the way the calls are starting today, Noah. Thank you for starting off hot.
The first time I heard you talk, I knew you were one of the good ones.
Yeah,
Noah.
Can you sense it?
I knew you were.
Hey, can you smell it?
Hey, Noah.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much for calling. All right, let's get going.
Noah. Stay on the line. You're on the line forever, Noah.
You're mine.
Also, Blaine, thanks for all the LSU love. Totally agree with you.
God, dude.
And my question and my thought is this, and this is not just because I'm an LSU fan, but this is just...
So tell me why you think that, because you're an LSU fan.
No. But I'll say this. Do you guys not feel like all the hype around Kalen DeBoer is oddly similar to all the hype around Scott Frost at Nebraska when he was supposed to be the Messiah?
No.
There was 1 year sample size at Central Florida with Scott.
Scott Frost went off at UCF for 1 year, like David's saying. He was the hottest girl at the dance, local legend, easy fix, everybody's going nuts. I understand the hoopla, but like David said, with Kalen DeBoer, we've actually got a lot of sample size, and he did it at Washington, like, for a while. So it wasn't a group of five team or whatever. Like, he did it at a high level. I think the hype was always going to be nuts because, one, it's Alabama. Two, it's Nick Saban retiring, and who's going to replace Nick Saban? All the hype and this niceness, and it's the honeymoon phase, right? We haven't played a game on the field yet. just like it's a honeymoon phase for a lot of teams. Come holler at me about week 7 when it's been divvied out. We'll see who's happy, who's not. But the hype was always going to be crazy just because of the circumstance, Nolan.
It just feels like what happens if you walk in and you drop one to Georgia, you drop one to LSU, and let's say you drop one to another team. What does that do for recruiting in that team overall? I mean,
well,
Auburn's already basically taken over Alabama as far as the state.
Well, first off, Noah, that's my
hold on before I pass out.
Yeah, hold on. It's getting hot over here. Here's what I think. I think the standard Alabama that should be is so astronomically high because they beat the hell out of everybody for so long, right? Won all these championships, you had the GOAT there. Whenever something always inevitably pretty much goes wrong during a college football season, but when it would happen under Nick Saban, yes, Alabama fans would panic, but Nick Saban had a ton of equity built up with not only all of college football, but Alabama especially. Every time something was broke, Nick Saban not only fixed it, but he fixed it and made it better. Look at last year. They looked awful going down to South Florida with a lacrosse player at quarterback. They figure it out, end up making it to the college football playoff. Kalen DeBoer does not have that equity built up with the Alabama fans. So the first time something inevitably goes wrong, are they just going to freak the hell out and be like, oh my God, Dad's not here. Like, oh no,
yeah,
I'm locked in the house alone. The guy from Scream is calling me. And Dad's not here.
Well, they'll do so at their own detriment, right? Especially in an expanded
playoff.
You know they're going
to do it, David.
You can be a 10-2 team that makes the playoff and then wins the national championship. I mean, this guy just led Washington to the national championship. Not just that, undefeated. Undefeated. Beat Oregon twice. They were supposed to lose both of them. Beat Texas. Drum Steve Sarkisian in Texas. Their only loss is to Michigan.
It just feels like the contrast of when Kelly came into LSU with the second most wins in college football and how long that was going to take versus Kalen DeBoer came into a team last year that almost lost every game in Alabama.
Noah, like, people hate like Brian Kelly. I know nobody that like hates Kalen DeBoer.
That's what you need to worry. Like, you always need to worry about the quiet one.
Yeah, like Brian Kelly. People don't like Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's like, well, I'm Brian Kelly. And
still, didn't everybody say almost unanimously, well, the last three coaches won national championships at LSU. Of course, Brian Kelly's going to get
one. For sure. But like, people don't give Brian Kelly that much hype or that much love because I just don't think Brian Kelly's super likable by people that don't know him. Like, I wouldn't pick Brian Kelly. And listen, I'd love to get him on the show. Got a ton of respect for him. Brian Kelly wouldn't be the first guy I'd pick to go out on the bachelor trip, right? So like, Kalen DeBoer is a much like, he's like, hello, I'm Kalen DeBoer. I'm Kalen DeBoer from Washington, and I want to make sure the climate's good and like this, that, and the other.
He doesn't shadow over Alabama.
Like, no, that's
Alabama
the thing.
Shadows over Kalen DeBoer, and that's how he wants it.
Mm. Yeah, so we'll see. But I think Kalen DeBoer's a lot more likely.
We're going to find out, brother. What, 17 days, something like that?
Yeah.
It feels very interesting. It feels like if he loses three games this year, there could be a riot.
If they lose three games this year, if Bama loses three games this year and doesn't make the college football playoff, you want to talk about like why am I seeing Doctor Strange fly through the city at midnight, like type crazy stuff? Like that would be in that experiment. Maybe that's how World War III starts.
And this hurts for me to say, all right, but I can promise you, they ain't going anywhere.
No, I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's saying that. It's just this first year. We'll see.
No, thanks, Noah.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, Noah. Hey, we got to get to the next call, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy.
Great call, dude.
All
right, let's go to Jacob in Texas. Jacob, talk to us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. I just had a question for first-time caller in, by the way.
Appreciate it, man.
Last couple years, everyone schedules their home and homes away a couple years out, right?
Yep.
Arizona and Kansas State scheduled a home and home series, but now that Arizona's in the Big 12, is that going to count as an extra conference game, or is that just going to count as part of their non-schedule for the next couple years?
No, they are going. It is going to be a conference game. I think they may even have to manipulate it a little bit. I want to say I saw something where they decided they were going to have to change it because it is a conference game. I know Blaine's going to look that up, but I remember seeing something about that, Jacob, when it got announced who was going to the Big 12, and I felt like they put out something that said they were either going to change the game. and move it to another year, or you know, another time during the season, or they were going to keep it the same and count it as a conference game.
I didn't hear about that. That's pretty cool, though. Yeah. You can't play the game and it not be a conference.
No, that's impossible.
Can't do it.
You're not going to be able to. Yeah. That'd be like saying Florida State and Georgia Tech shouldn't be a conference game just because it's the first one and it's in Ireland. It's got to be a conference game.
That's kind of what I was thinking as well. Hope to see you guys at the Booster Club tailgate here in October.
We're going to be there.
It's going to depend on... Oh, it's not bad. It's if a hiring conference goes well for me or not.
Well, look, you tell me just who we need to, you know, how it needs to go down, and I'll see if I can lend a hand to the hiring, the conference of hirings and other things.
Hope you can make it, Jacob.
Yeah. Yep, got a conference in a couple of weeks, and if I get the conditional job offer there, I'll be there. If not, literally the weekend of the Booster Club tailgate is the weekend of the next hiring conference. I'll be there.
Well, we do have a dragon, and dragons can talk people into doing lots of things, Jacob. So you just look up and say the word Jacaris, and Blaine will be there.
Why is the air?
All right, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Jacob. You too, buddy.
Why is the air heating up? Blaine says, "All right, I want to get to the next caller. I want to get to the next. You're not seeing anything on that?
No, I'm gonna keep looking.
I want to get to the next caller, but before we do. Just want to let you guys know, if you're struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns, all right, we know the IRS.
Talk to them, son.
You want me to talk to them?
Come on.
They're putting the full court press on, son. Trying to kill them off.
Nah, not on me.
They're escalating collections by adding 20,000.
Damn,
that's a lot of people when you really think about it. New agents, and they're sending millions of demand letters. Well, I demand you get some help, and I got them here.
On demand.
On demand help. It's Tax Network USA, because handling this alone... Son, you don't want to represent yourself in court, and you definitely don't want to represent yourself when it comes to taxes. Tell them, Blaine, spit that.
Tax Network.
Yeah.
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
You love to see it. You don't want to handle it alone. They have over 14 years of experience, and regardless of the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. Upon signing up, they immediately tell the IRS, hey, we got a protection order. Y'all back off a little bit, ensuring that aggressive collection activities stop, such as garnishments, levies, property seizures, and all that. And you get a complimentary consultation. You call today, 1-800-958-1000, or visit their website, tnusa.com/booster. Hit me a beat, Blaine. Give me something. That's 1-800-958-1000. Or visit TNUSA.com/booster today. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. Take advantage of them, son.
Ooh.
With Tax Network USA. Tax Good beatbox.
Tax Network USA.
Scoop, yeah.
Mm.
Absolute
right. Banger.
That was. Go Listen, y'all gonna have to pay for that one. Wait, you already did. Let's get back to the phones.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Where'd you find this?
David in Tampa. What's going on, David?
Well, what's up, soldiers?
What's up?
Yo, okay, first of all, I have an easy solution to the whole tax thing, Jake, okay? Just get rid of taxes altogether. Can we do that, please?
Flat tax?
Look, we can start that movement together. I need to find where a lot of tea
is. No taxation without representation.
Yeah.
Emasculation.
I've just been pouring out Lipton sweet teas every time I gotten them.
Absolutely. So a couple of things I just wanted to talk about. One, I want to bring up yesterday. One of the people in the chat asked who has a harder schedule, 2007 LSU or 2024 Florida.
Yeah, we said
and
Florida.
I think for now you have. Well, I think for now you have to go with 2007 Florida, or excuse me, 2007 LSU. And for this one simple reason, LSU in 2007 obviously played its schedule. Florida has not played its schedule yet. And you have to consider the possibility that, you know, most of the teams might not be as hard as we think. Improbable? Yes. But impossible? No.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say impossible. I mean, I don't think it was just unbelievably different between the 07 LSU and the Florida one. And you are right. They haven't played the games. But I think if we're going to use the logic that half the teams that we think are going to be really good aren't going to be that good, then we have to say the other half that we think it's got to be the same on the other side of the coin, right? So it should even out somewhere to the middle when I'm looking at the schedule. So if it was all chalk, right, the answer is always somewhere in the middle where half the teams we thought were going to be good weren't as good and half the teams, you know, we thought were going to be bad weren't as bad, it should even up back to the middle somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, that's fair. And then, gentlemen, the other thing that I wanted to ask you guys about is I'm really curious. What is a prediction or a belief that you guys have about the upcoming season that you could see backfiring on you? And I'll go first. Yeah, you guys were actually talking about them earlier, but you know, for me, one belief I have that I could see backfiring on me is I really truly believe that LSU is going to have a massive drop off at the QB position, and I don't think the LSU fans are prepared for that. You know, my reasoning is because I think if you look at the recent history of LSU, you know, they don't really consistently produce elite quarterbacks. They're not like Ohio State, where Ohio State just turns out elite quarterback after elite quarterback, you know, with the exception being Kyle McCord, of course, right? And, you know, I tweeted about this a week ago or so, and I got some pushback from LSU fans, including one who was like, okay, well, you know, you really expect Les Miles to develop quarterbacks. Okay, that's fair. But then you look at, you know, Brian Kelly, and it's like, other than Jaden Daniels, you know, what elite quarterback has he had or developed at Notre Dame? Now, I understand the limitations that Notre Dame has when it comes to recruiting, like their academic requirements and the fact that Brian Kelly has had to fly all over the country. So, you know, maybe he just wasn't able to get those elite quarterbacks. So I totally get it, but yeah. My point still stands. But, you know, that's me. I don't think LSU is going to I think LSU is going to have a drop off at QB. I don't think they're prepared for that, but I could see that backfiring on me. But what about you guys? What's the belief or a prediction you have that you could see backfiring on you?
Well, if Cam Rising gets hurt, my Utah prediction is going to go in the toilet.
Yeah, I don't think that'll backfire on you, though. If it gets hurt, that's not something you can control.
I mean, if you're talking about somebody just not living up, you know, to the hype that I think is going to be pretty good. You know, man, I don't want to sound like a cop-out, but, you know, Auburn going at least 8-4 just because I know Auburn. This year is setting up to be a year where a lot of people don't expect a ton. Auburn typically does better in those years. But with this team, it's still not deep enough to where if something does go wrong, it could fall off a cliff and get ugly at some point. Now, I don't see that happening, but I think that's the whole point of asking if a prediction could backfire.
Well, I haven't made any official predictions yet, but I'm high on Miami to win the conference. So obviously that could backfire just because there's so many unknowns, which is what Blaine was bringing up earlier. Also, just in terms of like Notre Dame quarterbacks who I think were really good when Brian Kelly was there, like Ian Book could play.
Yeah,
Ian Book was a great quarterback.
Yeah, I'd probably say on the
Garrett Nussmeier is going to be one of the more seasoned new quarterbacks we see take over.
Yeah, so. Nuss got some talent, but I think LSU, what mine would be, I have LSU obviously ranked 8th in the preseason poll, and I think their defense is going to take a huge jump this year. So that's probably what would backfire.
For their sake, they better hope.
All right, David, thank you so much, man.
David.
All right, we got a Pongo alert. Let's go to Kirk in Canada. Pongo, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, cue the air horn. Because I received a package from Blaine in the mail.
No way.
I finally showed up. I'm holding the cup in my hand.
How about that? Let's go, baby.
Kirk, I told you, Kirk, I got you.
Yeah, now he's going to brag.
You can't take credit for that if you had someone else do it.
I had to go take care of it, Kirk. $1 million company. Don't worry. I'll do it. Wayne got it by hand.
Sat him down in front of me,
Kirk, and made him type the email out in front of me.
$1 million company.
I'm glad you got it, bud.
For your
I do
club,
good at business.
New listeners who haven't been following for a while, we made this bet last July. I took Toronto, 12.5 points?
Kirk got his merge. Dang, now I can't make fun of Blaine anymore about it.
Philly, I know. Philly only had to beat Toronto once all season, and Blaine would have won the bet, but nope, they couldn't do it.
Well, Kirk, did you ever have a doubt in your mind, Kirk?
Yeah, I bet he did.
Get that merch. Aren't you supposed to send someone a shirt?
Huh?
Weren't you supposed to send someone?
No, we doubled it. We doubled or nothing.
Look, if you're out there and Jake's supposed to send you a shirt, call in right now. We have a line
open.
Oh,
great.
Hey, before we go to the next caller, can I just quickly give my Jim Harbaugh thoughts?
Go ahead.
Please.
I think I did call in about this 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, but I've learned that if you come after somebody's idol, they come after you. And so Jim Harbaugh is quite outspoken about his pro-life stance and his, that destroying children before they're born is evil. So I really, truly believe still to this day that if he'd have just kept his mouth shut about that, they would have just let him alone.
I hope you're wrong. Man, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I think they just dressed up a guy and sent him to the other team's sidelines. That's
we hadn't even gotten to that punishment. We're talking about cheeseburgers.
I get what you're saying to a certain extent, but I think he did a little extra, too.
He blew a kiss at a recruiter in COVID.
So anyway, good beating you, Blaine, and thanks for sending.
Hey,
that
y'all should do another bet. Hey, send a picture, Kirk.
Send us a picture. Tag us on social, Kirk. Right, thanks, man. All right, let's keep it moving on. My time's all thrown off right now. I'm just going. Let's get to Chris in Cheyenne. If we leave now, we could still make Cheyenne. There's a good George Strait song for you.
God, I don't know.
Keep up with that.
Yeah, man, I love that song. Go ahead. Come on, George Strait.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's up, Chris?
So, question for you. So, I gotta ask a question on my Sooners, right? So, first year in the SEC, what does it take? At what point in the season, let's say, you know, we'll get through the non-conference. It's a joke. Then we get into Tennessee and we get into Auburn. We go into that bye week before the Red River Shootout. It's not a rivalry. It's not anything else. It's a shootout. When you go into that, like at what point does the narrative or perceptions from, you know, all the old SEC heads, the national pundits, you guys ranking my team behind the Cowboys hurts. But at what point does that narrative start to change and people start to actually take a look at what they're doing? Undefeated through Tennessee and Auburn and then the Red River Shootout, or how's that work?
Yeah, Chris, I think it's going to have to be either one of the two extremes for a narrative to totally change. I want to make sure I answer your question correctly. The narrative right now that I think's out there, I think these two agree with me, you agree, is that Oklahoma, very well-respected program, probably going to struggle a bit because of the circumstance they find their roster in year one and the schedule in the SEC, right? That it's going to be kind of mixed, going to have some good and some bad, right? That's kind of the feeling.
Oh, for sure. And that schedule did us no favors.
No.
I hurt us a little bit on that one.
100%. So to me, I think once you get to that bye week for the Red River Shootout, and you're damn right, it's a shootout. I love that you pointed that out. To be a narrative that is either, hey, man, Oklahoma is better than what we thought, or Oklahoma is going to be the ugly stepchild of the Texas and Oklahoma move to the SEC year one. I think we could have that formulated by then, because if you lose both those games, if you lose to Tennessee and then Auburn on the road, there's going to be a lot of people that come out and say, oh, I told you Oklahoma, they're not ready this year, whatever. The smart ones will say they're not ready this year, but they're going to be fine down the road. The stupid ones will say, oh, they're never going to be good in the SEC. Don't listen to that second group of people. But if you guys are undefeated going into the Texas game, I think people will start to look at y'all as more of a contender for a championship or a contender to make the playoff. I think it's still going to take longer for people to be like, oh, look, Oklahoma's coming in here as one of the best teams in the SEC.
I think they go into the Red River Shootout at 4-1. I think you split the Tennessee and Auburn game. But that Texas game, that's one of the best rivalries in college football. Of course you can beat them. You beat them last year when you weren't favored too. So even if you're 5-1, you still have Ole Miss on the road, Missouri on the road, LSU on the road, and Alabama at home. Imagine going 10-2, punching above your weight, proving everybody wrong, and you still don't make the conference championship.
Yeah,
that'd be wild.
That's one of the things we've talked about. Chris, I just think, you know, again, if they're 4-1 going into that Auburn game, going into that Texas game, the narrative will still be the same, right? Because people say, oh, they didn't beat anybody out of conference. They've split in the conference. It's going to be mid the whole way through. That's what people say. You know that, and I know that.
Oh, for sure. If we're 4-1 going into Dallas, like, that's not kind of that start. Because I think, in my opinion,
I'd take it right now, Chris. You'd be stupid not to take that right now if you're an Oklahoma fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would, like, the even money is there, but I'm going to lay those because I honestly see – I see it at 5-0 going into Dallas, and I think probably the most important game on the schedule is that Tennessee game at home, that first SEC game. That is such a tone setter.
Yeah,
but it's that grind that, you know, all the SEC people, you guys included, have told me, you know, it's the grind. It's the everyday. You're not going from Oklahoma State to Iowa State, and it's 100% truth, and it's great for a fan because, my God, have I been looking forward to this schedule over last year, Cincinnati, and, you know, great teams.
For sure.
I'd rather see some other games.
Thanks, Chris.
That night at the – or that Tennessee game is going to tell us as Oklahoma fans, and I think the SEC fans a lot about that team, and honestly a lot about Tennessee as well, because I think there's a lot of the same questions on both those teams.
Well, you only get one chance to make a first impression. I think it's going to be absolutely electric. And you want to put, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but you want to start off a marathon running pretty fast too.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Hey, all downhill, baby.
Hey, thanks, man. Chris, great call.
All right, let's go rapid fire here. Everybody keep it to about 15 seconds. I'll get to as many as I can. Michael in Texas, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, I wanted to know, I don't know if you answered it in the chat or not, but where in the poll that you guys made today have you had, like, the most disagreement on where to rank teams?
Miami.
Probably Miami. Between us, obviously, because, I mean, there's going to be disagreements.
Or it sounds like LSU, too.
I would say LSU and Miami, but they're around kind of, because we had Miami at 9, he had LSU at 8. I would say LSU and Miami were probably the two most contentious. Notre Dame, I'm not as high on Notre Dame as they are, but outside of that, you know, once you start getting into 15 to 25.
And then USC. You know what I had Southern Cal.
You know what I was excited about, which just lets me know that you know college football, is that we were all really close on Utah.
We were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think Utah's been disrespecting the coaches poll and a couple other ones. That surprised me with the amount of respect that Kyle Whittingham has, too.
Appreciate it, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's go to Caveman 2.0 in Alabama. Caveman, 15 seconds. What's up, man?
How much of an advantage for the new headsets and the helmet for offensive coordinators and offensive-minded coaches like the Brian Kellys, the Sarkisians, the Lane Kiffins? And then also, just to throw a little jab in there, David, do we see a repeat Connor Stallion situation with the headsets?
Connor Stallions is just a hologram that pops up out of the headsets now. Here's what I'll say about the new technology you were talking about. Yes. Anytime you're able to talk with a player easier without them having to run over to the sideline or whatever, and without having to signal to that player, it does make it easier. Here's where I caution people, though, that are like, oh, now we don't have to signal anymore. Well, that's not true, because unless you're going to huddle every time, the quarterback is the only one that can hear the play. He's still got to tell the play to everybody else. So either you're going to huddle, he's going to hear the play, all right, here's the play, ready, break, or you're still going to be able to tell the quarterback from the sideline, but you're going to have to signal to everybody else if you want to be able to go fast.
When is it going to get to the point where you just mic everybody's helmet?
See, that's just asking a lot.
Nobody's going to have to call a play.
Like, that would be totally different.
That would be a much bigger change. Because, like Jake's talking about, you still got to tell the skill position.
Yeah, like, if I'm a wide receiver, what the hell am I doing?
50 yards away from you, what the play is.
Yeah,
right?
So it's going to help because you're able to talk to the guy. But I don't think it's as drastic of a change, to David's point, is what everybody's saying.
Thank you, K-Man.
K-Man, great call, buddy.
All right, anybody else on the line, please call in tomorrow, and we'll get to you on a Flaming Dragon Friday.
Yeah. We're going to get to our NFL win totals.
Can I get to this real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm not trying to interrupt you. I mean, obviously, you're the best-looking, most important person here. New patch on the NCAA game.
Yes.
I'm hurt, dog.
Tell him why, dog.
Look, I was a big Wildcat guy. Big Wildcat motion zone.
I've watched him. It was cheese.
I scored every. Cheese. Me and Jake at Crane's house, I believe, are 13-0.
Undefeated
online.
I'm playing defense. He's playing.
I've scored every drive except one. The only reason I didn't score because I had 20 seconds left to go into halftime.
Yeah.
Apparently they took the whole play out. Motion zone's gone.
So you saw the Wildcat formation
blast. Right, you still run Wildcat.
So they're trying to keep you inside.
Yeah, so now I'm actually going to have to get fluid on offense, which I really don't want to
shoot. Well, dude, I mean, you've been good going wide.
It's like, I don't like diving deep in my bag.
Yeah, like, no, well, the thing is, like, Blaine would show, he'll line up in Wildcat, get up there, working around the edge, getting goal line, maybe a little fullback dive, maybe a little power, maybe a little op. But then you go five wide. Hey, let's go Cheetah NASCAR. NASCAR Razor, let's get it and go. Make it
Baskin Robbins, I'm going to get you every flavor.
Baskin Robbins, you get every flavor. You want that Amaretto? So you can get it.
I played him.
You can get. Yeah, oh, that's did. Right. You did win, too.
I played him again, though.
Huh? Can't play me, though. Here we go.
You better play me now.
Quickly, tonight, NFL games, nobody's really going to play. I know we're going to get
that. Panthers, Patriots.
You ain't going to watch them.
Oh, I'm going to watch, Sonny. No, nobody said I'm not watching. I'm saying they're not going to play. They're not going to play. Bryce Young, they're not going to play Daniel Jones.
Do you like Caleb Williams' purse?
Huh?
Do you like Caleb Williams' purse?
No, but I mean, I'm not surprised that a guy that paints his nails also has a purse. Yeah. I mean, the next thing he's going to be on, you know, TLC.
But hey, it's not a big deal. Let him be him. Let him show his personality. That's all I hear everywhere.
Here's all I got tonight. Lions and Giants over 35. All right. Hey, remember, Drew Lock in New York, dog. Mm-mm. All right. Drew Lock's in New York. He's going to be playing for Daniel Jones. He's trying to win a job somewhere, trying to lock it up. I know the Giants are going to be playing Sudfeld, a couple other mouth breathers at quarterback. We'll see. I got him over the 35 and minus 112. Then the Patriots. I was going to go Panthers tonight.
I was going to go Panthers tonight.
I looked and realized that not only is Bryce Young not playing, Andy Dalton is hurt. So the Panthers are basically playing me at quarterback, and the Patriots got a battle, boys.
Yeah.
You got Drake May.
Joe Milton.
Joe Milton out there overthrowing everybody. Overthrow the ocean, you give
me. Damn, that overthrow looked nice, though.
Yeah, it was a nice-looking ass overthrow. How fast
like a Greek god.
Hey, he can hit a golf cart at 80 yards away from Manning Passing Academy, so it's amazing. Give me the Patriots minus 6.5 and minus 112.
It's under season. Let's make some money.
Boo,
I got Patriots, Panthers, under 35, minus 110. Lions, Giants, under 35.5, minus 112. Let's get paid.
All right. Let's
there's no first touchdown bets, but this is the closest thing I can get to it. Panthers, first score of the game, be a field goal.
Ooh, their first score or any first score?
Any first score.
Any first score.
Any first score. And Lions, the whole game, the first score will be a touchdown from the Lions. That's going off at plus 290.
Interesting. All right, what is Ace got?
Hoffa, hoffa.
The Panthers, plus 6.5. I'm thinking, don't believe. Lions, plus 4. We'll see. Minus 112. God, 4 is a weird number. Minus or plus. Makes me nervy, depending on what side I'm on. All right, let's get to the chat.
All right, let's get his donations. If you donated, thank you for your money. We're getting a $5 donation from Quattro. It's not Cinco. It's not Say. It's $5 donation. With the changes at JMU from coaches to players, where do you think they finish in the fun belt? Roll Dukes and keep up the great work, though.
First off, hated y'all lost Cignetti. Dude's a dog. I'm interested to see him at Cincinnati.
Vomit on the sweater
Indiana.
Away.
Yeah, mom's spaghetti.
Cignetti, vomit on his sweater already.
Vomit on his sweater.
Indiana
already.
Yeah. Yep.
Tom Allen, his office.
Tom Allen's at Penn State.
I know. He's the D.C. I would say we're going to get into the Sun Belt. I think James Madison's going to be fine because you guys have an incredible athletic department. I mean, they're good in, like, everything. But we're going to deep dive into the Sun Belt, a.k.a. Fun Belt, the Mountain West, AAC, all that good stuff here in the next couple
weeks. $5 donation from Cap, 850. Mario Crystal Tits hasn't
hit a lick. Oh, boy. I wasn't ready for that at the end of the show.
Preseason.
I wasn't ready.
Hold on. Read it from the top again.
All right.
The name of the person.
$5 donation from Cap, 850. Mario Crystal Tits hasn't hit a lick. Preseason champs, 20 years running. And now y'all buying into it. Don't believe the hype.
Oh my God. First off, I'm not even gonna argue with you because that was such a random and hilarious thing. You know, when you put stuff like that in there, I know that we would be friends.
Yeah. I might have to change my Miami pick after that
one. Yeah, no, but listen, look, trends are made to be broken. This is the year for Miami. They're either gonna, you know what, or get off the pot. I just think the pot. It's a little bit easier to sit on this year when you look at the ACC.
You got to love a good pot to sit on. $5 donation from Jimmy Timmy.
Jimmy Timmy.
I know Jake saw my Brewers barbecue chicken all over the Braves the past couple of days. We like
not
that.
Talking about it.
Also, every SEC team is mostly overrated team in the country.
God, is this like my, this is my anti,
that's your,
anti-
that's your Jake. Nemesis.
Yeah, is this my Brightburn?
All right, $2 donation from Ryan. What is the floor and ceiling for West Virginia this season?
Godly. I think it's one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor with the way Neil Brown's got it going. It's going to be hard for me. I'm telling you boys right now for me not to pick them to beat Penn State. The more I just look into West Virginia, the more John Denver I listen to, just the math and the geometric angles are starting to add up. I think the ceiling is 10 wins. I think the floor is probably 7.
You talking about throwing a monkey wrench in the college football playoff? If West Virginia beats Penn State.
That's a couch burning monkey wrench.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you both.
All right. Let's go to a $5 donation from David. Appreciate it. J&B, I actually think Auburn could go 9-3. Preaching to the choir, but Hugh Freeze seems historically to do significantly better in the second season.
Yep. Nobody's talking about it. 9-3.
I don't want you to talk about it.
I don't even want to talk about
7
it.
7-5?
Four and eight.
Yeah.
11-1?
We might win 3.
4-8.
11-1?
Last donation of the day, a $10 donation from Anthony Long. Appreciate it. Hey, boys, there's a quote confidence on – there's quiet confidence. You put quote when you meant quiet. There's a quiet confidence on the Plains. Bold prediction will win at least 9 games with one of those wins being over Georgia or Bama. If we start out the season 5-0, watch out. Look.
You know what being an Auburn fan before the season's like? It's like – It's like when you walk into the bar, with your boys, and like you know, if you take one shot of Fireball, like who knows what's gonna happen the rest of the night. But you know, it could be really fun, or it could be a disaster. But either way, you're gonna feel bad the next day. That's like being an Auburn fan's like just making that decision, like seeing that Fireball shot at the bar.
The thing about Auburn fans,
you know what? Let's do it. 9-3.
The thing about Auburn fans, especially like players and coaches, we're not here to. I didn't pay $60 to lay up.
Yeah.
All right. This is either gonna be really good
for sure,
or we're gonna be OB pretty quick.
There's not a lot of middle ground.
Yeah.
No.
It's like either the plane lands
not scared
or
of the water.
Look, the
yeah, buddy, I'm hitting driver.
Hey, maybe if y'all click the teleprompter at me one more time, then I'll definitely see the pole and wrap. Let's get to pole.
All right.
Having a seizure over here.
All right, pole.
Like a early
preseason polls worthless.
No, we had fun today.
As we did one for an
51,
hour.
51%.
Yeah, we're like, oh, yeah, by the way, Colorado manipulated a video. I'm going to say they are worthless. 65%. We got a smart group. Most
I said no, 51%.
Oh, fuck, I didn't hear you say that at all. Yes, 71%.
Ooh, smart group.
No, 29%.
Then what did we do today?
Nothing, David.
We got better today.
We did. We appreciate you guys. We're going to put it out on social. We may even put our individuals out on social. Who knows? Y'all are the best. Shout out to our friends over at HVMN, which is the Ketone IQ. Check that out. Raycon and Tax Network. Let them help you take advantage of the IRS. So you can put your IR best foot forward. All right, we appreciate you guys. Got a great show for you tomorrow on Flaming Dragon Friday. And yes, we still got the painting. And like the chances of us not having fun, making a preseason poll, we're going. Gone.
You're welcome.
I'm turning into the Gambit.
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. It never really seemed to matter that much, at least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover.
They don't say I'm racist. Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certification.
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness.
This is more for you and less for you.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I want to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yes, this country is a piece of shit.
White
folks.
White
trash. White supremacy. White woman. White boy.
Is there a black person around
here? What's a black person right here? Does he not exist?
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
In theaters September 13th, rated PG-13.